Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Illusionoid.
We're going to bring up our guest now. And this is someone who is the author of a novel that is has an amazingly interesting premise. And I'm going to let her explain what it is. But please do welcome to the stage our guest for the interview this evening, the one and only, here she is, Kate Blair. Kate, come on up. I see right over there. Well, Kate, thank you so much for joining us. How are you this evening? Wait a minute, you're British, are you?
Yes.
All
yes,
right.
I am British.
Where were you born?
I was born on the south coast of England.
The south coast. So that would be, let me see how I know my geography here. Is that Dover?
No, yeah, not too far from Dover, but way over just Southampton, Portsmouth.
I was going to guess Southampton.
Southampton, yeah, Southampton's not far.
What's your local football team?
My local football team is Pompey.
Pompey.
Pompey. Portsmouth. Division. Portsmouth.
Oh, Portsmouth. Division 2.
I don't know. Oh, my goodness. We keep going down, and then they keep changing the divisions.
Like, can they do that?
Yeah, well, it used to be, you know, 1, 2, 3, and then it became Premier and Championship and all of that.
Set bladder.
Anything.
Yeah. Corrupt, right?
Yeah.
Oh, corrupt. The guy.
Incredibly corrupt. All right, so let's get to why we have you on our show, other than being an expert in soccer. You've written a book. Is this your first book that you wrote?
This is my first published novel.
Your first published novel. So do you have many other unpublished novels?
Well, I have a previous one that is unpublished and will never be published because it is terrible.
All right.
What's it called?
That one's called Somnia.
I like it.
Yeah. I like it too.
Great, yeah.
Is it a book of erotica?
That would be better.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So about the book that you did get published, that one is called Transferal.
Yes.
And why don't you share with the audience here and our listeners the premise of this book?
Okay, it's basically set in an alternate version of present-day England in London, and where crimes are punished by having the diseases of the innocent transferred to criminals.
That's great.
Yeah. So I read some of your book, and fascinating, excellent, well done. It reads very well. I'd flown through the part I read. So essentially the idea is if someone commits a crime, someone is guilty of a crime, they're convicted of a crime, they go to some kind of cell or holding tank, and they await their punishment. And their punishment, based on the crime, right, is some sickness from someone else.
Yeah, based on the severity of the crime. So shoplifting, you might get a cold, and if you're a pedophile, you might get meningitis or
something severe.
Fairly deadly.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so where did you come up with this idea? Like, how did this occur to you, this idea of, say, using the criminal justice system to mixing that with this sort of medical idea as well? Where'd that come from?
That actually came from my day job. I work for a nursing union.
Oh.
And one time I was listening to a nurse and she was talking about her experiences during the SARS epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that whenever she was out and about wearing scrubs, people would treat her like a criminal. They'd cross the road to avoid her.
Ah, okay.
So I started thinking about, you know, crime and disease and the fact that you do have, the way you treat criminals is often very much in line with the way you treat people with a contagious illness. So I put them together.
That's fascinating. Is there any science, like real science, behind this idea?
Absolutely none.
Absolutely not.
So no, it's completely impossible.
A work of speculative fiction. So I don't need to be worried about, say, shoplifting.
I would say it goes towards the fantasy end, in fact. All right.
So what's the big in your sort of? It's always a tough question to ask somebody who creates something. It's a novel. It's a work of art. So what were you trying to say with this book?
Again, it's a lot of looking at what is the purpose of punishment. What is the purpose of the justice system? Is it one that is to punish? Is it one that is to benefit the people who do not commit crimes by, in theory, keeping them safe? Or is it about vengeance? Is it about privileging an overclass over an underclass?
Or is it about the economy?
Is it about the economy?
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
Is there a part of that world where there is a rehabilitative part notion in this justice system?
Absolutely none. It is really all about being really crappy to people.
Yeah, yeah.
Mostly, wow. Yeah. Because because the idea is that this system was introduced during the Victorian era when the whole attitude towards criminals was fairly draconian. Mm. And then after that, it becomes a system that having been introduced in that era, how do you then stop it? How do you then tell people that, hey, your child is dying of meningitis, but we're just going to let that kid die when we could transfer that to a criminal?
Yeah, so it's like this idea of opening up the Pandora's box. So once this has been revealed to the public, there's no way you can unreveal it.
Exactly,
right?
And that's why I kind of set it present-day alternate history.
Yeah.
Because if that system was suddenly discovered now, people wouldn't use it as a criminal justice system.
Right.
But in the Victorian era, when there was a slightly different attitude towards rehabilitation and crime,
mm-hmm.
I could see that, where they were just like, where it actually seems better than hanging people.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just getting over a cold.
You could have had that, you know, like a trespasser could have had.
Yeah,
that,
that's what I was going to ask, because it lasted over a month. I had to miss the last of these shows because I couldn't speak. And so 4 or 5 weeks, and I still have the congestion, but for a while I just couldn't do anything. And I was going to ask you what, in your book, in your world, would someone have to do to get that cold?
Shoplifting, trespassing, minor cold, yeah.
Yeah. Now, you talked about the Victorian era punishment of criminals. Did you do any research in your book?
I actually did quite a bit of research back into crime and punishment in London.
Yeah, so give us an example of something that might pop to mind of what they would do to criminals in Victorian era London.
Well, by the Victorian era, it was actually starting to get more reasonable, but of course that was a really long era. That's 60 years, right? So at the beginning of the Victorian era...
Because she wouldn't die, right?
Until this one, she was the longest hanging on.
Yeah,
and people kept extracting disease out of her.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
By her own rule. Commanded.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm interrupting.
Absolutely. But no, at the beginning, you know, you'd hang people for you'd put them in the workhouse, you'd hang them for just about any crime. There was a general belief during the Victorian era that there was a criminal class.
Yeah.
That people were just born this way.
There were defects and degenerates that deserved what they got.
Exactly. So that was kind of,
amazing, huh? It's amazing. So that was undone. That idea that could pervade or perpetrate through an entire society at that time, we could have actually stepped past that through...
I mean, and to what extent have we? And that is...
What are you saying?
I'm asking purely out of curiosity, but when you talk about the criminal class, does that mean... that people believed people born unto criminals were also criminals?
Generally, and of course, we're also talking about an era with a high level of alcoholism, the gin rooms, and then you get into how much was fetal alcohol syndrome
an
issue in that era for people who were born to alcoholic mothers, and because, of course, alcoholism was not in any way understood or its impact on children. So.
Right. And then there was the idea that there were chemicals around that people had no impact, like mercury. People
would
bathe in mercury, right?
And hatters.
And
hatters,
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was that mercury they used? The hatters?
Hatters, yes. That was used very much hence the Mad as Hatters.
Yeah.
They used mercury and they went insane.
And the crazier you were, the funnier you were, right? Back in the Victorian times.
Much like today.
All right. Well, that's fascinating. So it's a very complex and very interesting work you've done there. I would recommend that. It's available. It's available in bookstores.
It certainly is in most bookstores.
Yeah, and it's available now. If you buy this electronically, this book to read on your device of choice, you get.
Yep.
You get paid for that?
Yes, I
okay,
do.
Good.
Yeah, you can buy that from,
Is it proportional to the cost of the book itself?
So proportional if you buy to the cost,
all
yes.
All right. So if you buy it in hard copy, you get a little bit more.
Yes. Right.
Would it be spoiling? Would it be spoiling the story to ask what the capital offense, what the worst sentence you can get is?
Well, the idea is that you have a kind of a class 4 crime, which gets because you have criminals, then there's not the same medicine system has not developed.
Ah.
Because why would you bother? if you're giving diseases to guilty people, so therefore things are far more deadly. And also they have moved to a position where they no longer treat diseases because then you are letting criminals get off easy.
Right.
So like a hangnail.
Yeah.
So even the stuff that today we would get over is still deadly.
Exactly. And of course, vaccinations. Why would you vaccinate your children if you could just transfer their diseases?
So polio. We're talking about polio.
Polio. Polio, isn't it? Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah.
So it's like it's a huge indentured population, essentially slave population.
Who have become a criminal class that then they need to be a criminal class.
Right. So you've got to, that's fascinating. So you can't ever undo it. You've got to make sure that stays embedded in some way.
And keep being harder on crime when in fact you're trying to deal with disease.
Right. Wow, guys. Luckily, this is just a book. But it's a very scary kind of, would dare say, dystopian vision of the future. Okay, so we'd like to take some questions for Kate from the audience. Does anyone have a question for her about Victorian-era crime and punishment or the content of her book or what she might be doing next? Anyone got a question for Kate?
I will ask.
Yeah.
Hi, first-time listener, long-time fan. Your next book, are you making this, are you continuing on from Transferal, or are you writing a whole new thing?
Completely different thing. Set in the future, it's about a generation starship that arrives at its final destination planet.
Wow.
Yeah, and because basically so many times when you read a generation starship novel, it's something has gone wrong, it's become a dystopia in a spaceship, or it's not what it seems, and this is just, so I thought it would be nice to, because if you've lived for hundreds of years, like Shakespearean times in your history was when you lived on the Earth, it would be a hell of a shock to actually be on a planet.
Yeah,
so not to mention so many of those stories that you've read about generational ships are all about getting on the ship and leaving.
Exactly,
and then that's the end of the story.
Yeah, getting on the ship and leaving, completely forgetting the purpose of the ship, or some kind of insane dystopia developing on the ship. Yeah. So I just wanted to be one that actually made it there.
Cool.
And what they find.
How far are you through that?
I'm actually just finished a draft, so I'm hopefully going to start... I think I'm going to start sending that out soon.
Wow. Congrats.
Is there pressure from a publisher to make things a trilogy?
Not as much as you would think. I have a very small publisher right now, and we'll see how this does. It's only just come out. It hasn't even come out in the US yet. It comes out in May.
Okay.
But good things are happening. We're hoping to have some good news to announce on that and stuff.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
Oh. Sounds exciting.
David Fincher adaptation.
Yeah.
Totally. No, actually, we've developed a transfer system, and we're just going to use it to publicize the book.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes. Oh, shit. Ill-advised.
That's what we call a branded disease.
Nice one, Doug.
Thank you.
Any more questions? Do you have another question? Anything you'd like to ask of Kate?
Anything?
Or us. You could ask us questions if you want. Sorry,
hang on. What's your name, young man?
It's the Dark Prince.
The Dark Prince.
Dave, and my question is this. With your first book, you're not happy enough with it to put it out. Is it the premise isn't as smart as your later stuff, or is it you're not happy with the writing?
I'm not happy with the writing. I spent 10 years writing it, and I kind of learned how to write from it. I like the premise. The premise is that two children accidentally open a gate between the real world and the world of dreams, launching an invasion of nightmares. And that one's a middle grade book, it's a crap book. So.
It's a crap book.
Kids wouldn't know the difference.
No, kids have no taste.
Yeah.
Don't know.
No, not at all.
I say, now, Kate, you've listened to a few episodes of Illusionoid.
Yeah, I said
have. And you just heard probably the best one we ever did, Henry and the Goon Child.
man, classic.
When you,
classic.
As a writer, as an author, listen to us do our nonsense, what goes through your head?
Mostly I'm laughing, and because there's so much that is such quick invention, I'm kind of pretty much in awe of that. I just sit there and stare at paper and wait for, I kind of wish I could have you guys in a room just coming up with ideas.
We're available.
We absolutely are.
We're absolutely available. Yeah.
So, Nigel, you cool with that?
I'm down.
Rainbow Ranger says yes.
Rainbow Ranger says yes.
That's awesome. Well, thank you, Kate. It's been wonderful talking to you, and I wish you all the best. We all wish you all the best with your future endeavors. And you're saying Transferal comes out in the U.S.?
In the U.S. in May.
Okay.
It came out in Canada in October. So,
well done.
Do you have any copies of the book here?
I certainly do. Hey. A few copies if anybody wants.
Yeah. Awesome.
The low price of $15.
All right. Yeah. It sounds like a good read. Right. Well, thanks again, Kate.
Thank
Ladies and gentlemen,
you so
let's
much
hear
for having
Kate
me.
Blair.
Thank you. Lovely. What a lovely, lovely young woman Kate is. With a devious imagination. I'll say that much. Yep. It's tantalizing. And for some reason, we are, as a society, maybe it's a fin de siècle kind of thing. Can I say fin de siècle in this room? Is that cool?
Fin de siècle.
Fin de siècle. All right. So it's kind of a... what?
Nothing, it's clear my throat. So it's that cold.
I know, it's hanging on.
Yeah.
Oil of oregano. Ugh. I recommend that.
Yeah.
Just like a carafe of oil of oregano. Yeah, it'll blow your head right off. So I think there's a certain fascination with dystopias in our society. Maybe it is toward because we're in a sort of a transitional time between centuries, even though centuries are arbitrary. You just look at the Chinese calendar.
I never do.
good.
I don't. Yeah.
So, but there's something that's attractive about the idea of dystopia, about imagining a world in which certain things that we recognize in our world now have gone to absurd extremes, and they've caused the dissolution of society in some way.
I would call that the world right now.
Wow. Wow.
I feel like the world has gone to extremes.
It's true.
And I, for one, I don't want to bring the house down.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people showed up here to have a good time, but I'm a little disillusioned.
It's,
all right?
You know, there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. Usually things right themselves.
There is a lot happening.
There's usually checks and balances, and there's also ebbs and flows. What other thing can I say that sounds like ebbs and flows, checks and balances?
Ultraviolets and infrareds.
Yes. There's everything. Complementary colors on
there's
the color wheel.
Doppler effect. Sunshine and rain.
Sunshine and rain. Oh, that's true. Man. That's true. Signal and noise, this kind of thing, right?
This
okay, enough of this. So, what is something, this occurred to me as I was talking, what is something that you really enjoy having today, that you really enjoy the convenience of, or you really enjoy being part of our society, some facet of society that you think is, wow, that's fantastic, and I'm so glad that's around? Anything?
Heated car seats.
Those are... the new normal, as far as I'm concerned.
They're the new things in the world. So I think I imagine a dystopian world where that seemingly benevolent feature has become...
Well, Paul just had a great idea.
Can we set it in Victorian England?
Of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Make it part of... So heated car seats.
Yeah.
And also... prisoners die of diseases.
Okay, all right. Let's put it all in there.
Put it in the world of Transferal.
Yeah.
Transferal presents. It's like Rogue One. It's like.
Yeah.
It's like not part of the episodes.
It's in the canon.
Transferal.
Yeah. So it's in the canon. So this is like a sort of side story to the Transferal world, right?
Yeah.
All right. So heated car seats.
Do we need a?
Running
how do we build this title?
Heated car seatsel.
Yeah.
Heated car seatsel?
Yeah, her majesty's...
No. Heated car seats. Car seat heating.
Yeah, car
her
seat
majesty's
heating.
Car seat heating.
Her majesty's car seat heating. All right. Yeah. I'll just give you the tonight's transmission.
Oh,
all right.
I have to do that again.
Yeah, I know. Right. This is how it goes, okay. Right?
All right.
And now, tonight's transmission.
Hear me, people! I've got a good signal for... Oh, crap!
Yeah.
For 1 second, I had a really good signal. Now I've got that feedback again. Oh, crap! Of the many things I lament of your future, it is that the last source for electronics is Circuit City. That's what I bought this time radio, and that's why you hear this feedback. Let me if I just jiggle this cable for... Oh, all right. Now, very quickly, I have to warn you that it... Oh, God damn it! Hear me quietly. Be very quiet in how you hear me right now. Hear me with the sound of just a fraction of one sun. In your past.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And I'm talking about the general mid-1800s to the late 1800s. It's your generations. You tell me when the Victorian era was. I don't have a book. In your past, in Victorian London, diseases. I don't want to rip anybody's story off, but diseases are used to sentence the crimes of criminals. There's a better way of saying that. Retransferal. But also, heated seats are a thing.
Cold, blimey, it's bloody cold, isn't it?
It's cold, isn't it?
Oh, Reg, I'm freezing over here. Is there any? Can you put another coal on the fire or something?
Kevin, I'll do my best, but you know these coals are rather large.
I know, but we've got tongs, right? You've got tongs.
Yeah, they just came out with tongs. It's a brand new tool.
Yeah.
Went on sale, I picked one up. I went to Circuit Village.
Circuit Village?
Yeah.
You got the tongs at Circuit Village?
I waited in line overnight.
Nice.
For the tongs 1S.
Ooh, nice. These ones have like two handles on them, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Good ones.
So how do we use these? Do I grab an handle and you grab an handle?
What's
and then
this? Hold my drink.
All right. Yeah. What are you drinking? This smells like mead.
Well, that's exactly what it is.
Mead?
Pure granulated mead.
This would make you blind, Reg.
I'm quite blind.
Oh, my God.
Now, stand back, for these girls could burn you badly if I walk in the wrong direction.
All right. I'm standing back. All
watch
right.
This as I grab an handle with each hand.
An handle with each hand. That's the slogan, isn't it? Tongs, an handle for each hand. Right?
You've seen the billboard. Oh, you've seen the posts, the bills.
Indeed, I have. I've heard the town cry, scream it. Handles.
Wait, listen, you can hear them right now.
Tongs in each hand.
Tongs in each hand.
They butcher it. Oh, yeah. I heard one guy say it the right way. The rest of them butcher it.
Anyways,
yeah.
Here I go.
All right.
Using the tongs.
All right.
I put a coal in the fire.
Look at your forearms throbbing.
I can't. I'm quite blind.
All right. God, I'm throwing this mead out and I'm getting you on a program. Oh, that's better. Cool. You know, life is hard. If there was only a way that we could get eat for the tender parts of our body without having to throw coals on a fire.
Hello, gentlemen. Hello.
Oh. Who's this in the fancy dress?
Look at him. He's got bloomers on.
Hello. Carstairs from up the street. The laboratory.
Professor Carstairs.
Oh, Professor Carstairs. Oh, yeah.
Professor Carstairs.
I could not help. I went to Circuit Village, and I tried to get a set of the tongs. And they told me you had bought the only set.
Oh, yeah, they sold out. They sold out after me.
Ling, 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 out of tongs. We're out of tongs.
Thank you. That? Gentlemen,
that's good publicity, that is.
It's true.
Gentlemen,
it's true.
I have need of the tongs.
Need of the tongs,
I've created something, and I have very hot coals that I need to put inside a cushion. It goes inside the carriage of the Queen.
Slow down, Professor. What?
Speak English, please.
I have very hot coals. Right. I cannot touch them with my hands. Oh. I must use the tongs to put the hot coals in the seat cushions for the seats of the carriage of the Queen to heat her tender regions.
My mind is blown right now. You want to heat the seat of the Queen herself?
Yes, she does not like sitting on a cold cushion. She would like to sit on a warm one.
This is obscene just thinking about. You want to warm up the bottom of the queen.
Well, it's her request, you see. She pays me quite a lot of money to come up with ideas in my laboratory. This is idea number two.
What was idea number one?
Idea number one was to create a cushion for the carriage.
Oh, that's quite sensible.
Yeah, but she would like it not to be so cold in the winter.
Oh, I see.
What's the cushion made of?
The cushion is made of a leather with a bladder inside it.
What kind of bladder?
A sheep.
Sheep bladder.
It's, think of it like a haggis full of cotton.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
And then the next version of it, the S cushion, one S, would be with the hot coals inside it so that you can heat it up in the cold weather.
Oi, you free gonna order something more to drink? You want some more mead, or are you just going to talk about this genius invention that you've already figured out?
I've said too much already. I should not talk about this in public.
I'll take one more of those meads.
Right. You?
Me? I'll have a club soda.
Oh, fancy one, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You, Professor?
What do you have in the line of a gin?
All of them.
Perfect. Great. All of them in a glass, please.
All right.
Professor Carstairs.
That's me.
Are you willing to make us a deal? Offer us something in return for these tongs? I'm speaking on behalf of Reggie.
Yes, I will. I'll for the use of your tongs for this one time, I will cure Reg's blindness.
Ooh. Reg, consider, all right? Consider carefully.
Hold on. This blindness was delivered upon me by the court of Britain.
That's right.
What crime did you commit, Reg?
Pornography.
You committed pornography?
That's right. I was there. I saw the whole thing.
Yeah, I committed pornography. So?
Well, explain how.
Well, it's complicated.
I have time.
But I was consuming it and producing it at the same time.
Yeah. It was like a human centipede.
Yeah. There was a bit of a human centipede going on. I don't know what alleys you travel, Governor, but that's a link, that's a term in the pornography world. I was sketching it.
And consuming it?
And he was enjoying
it at the same time.
As he was rendering it, he was enjoying it.
Well, I can take that blindness away from you, and then you can still wear your darker glasses and pretend you're still blind.
All right, Professor, but if the law finds out that you took my blindness away, it'll be on your head, won't it?
I guess so. But I work for the Queen. Oh, so you see, I'm kind of immune.
All right.
Sounds a lot like hubris, if you don't mind me saying.
All right, club soda.
Thank you.
Mead.
Oh, that's for me.
All the line of gin.
Thank you.
What's that?
The Queen's carriage has arrived.
Quick.
I have a bucket of coals. I need those tongs. Quickly.
Quick. Cure me blindness.
This. I just threw all of the gins in your eyes.
Ah!
Oh. The juniper berries are working.
That's right.
Yes. If only I knew it was this simple, I would have done it years ago.
Exactly. Now, quick, you must pretend you're still blind when the Queen comes into this bar.
All right, then.
Here she is. Your Majesty.
Hello, all right, hello.
Oh, Your Majesty.
Hello, good day.
Radiance of radiances, sons of suns, and Your Majesty.
Yes. Who's here? I'm quite blind.
Well done, Reg. Your Majesty, good to see you again.
And you, Professor.
Greetings upon you. I'm so glad you've bestowed upon me the radiance of your visit.
Ah, well, thank you. And this blind man?
Who's that? Who are we talking about? Oh! Me! Yeah, it's me.
This is Reg. Hmm. He's quite blind and cannot see.
For all of me pornography.
I'm sorry, for what?
My pornography.
Your pornography?
Well, yeah, I produce and consume pornography at the same time.
The Queen does not need to know such sundry details.
I would love to hear these sundry details.
Well, I would produce it and consume it at the same time.
When
I was done with the sketches, I'd pin them on a wall.
Interesting.
That's why it's called pornography.
Pornography.
Your Majesty, I have for you the new cushion, as you can see with these new tongs, the 1S. I am putting the hot coals into the seat, you can see, and I'll put it on this chair, and you may test it out. And if you like it, I can produce more of these for your carriage.
Oh,
Very kind of you, Professor. Thank you.
It is a warmed cushion.
I'm sorry, a what?
A warmed cushion.
A warmed cushion?
For your carriage, so it is not so cold.
And blind man, what do you think of this?
Oh, what are we talking about?
I'm sorry, are you deaf or are you blind?
Well, of a touch of deafness on account of voyeurism.
Voyeurism as well as pornography.
That's correct.
Hmm. Can you please take a seat on this cushion?
You want me to?
Yes, please.
Guide him to the seat, please.
All right, Reg, it's going to be all right. It's by the Queen's decree. She's asked you to take a seat on the heated cushion.
I'm sorry, and you are?
Kevin.
Kevin?
Yes, I'm his
guide.
Guide and squire. And if I don't mind saying, madam, my friend. Yes, we have a casual friendship as well. Oh, casual friendship? Yes, nothing formal. No human centipedes. Yes, indeed.
No so one said anything about that, gentlemen.
I'll take my casual friend Reg by the arm here and lead him over to the heated cushion.
Excellent.
All right, easy now, Reg.
Oh, we're getting on it now.
Yeah, you're going to get on
here
it.
Here I go.
Remember.
Reg, clearly with your blindness affecting you, your other senses must be heightened.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
How does it feel sitting on the heated cushion, Reg?
It burns!
He's just sensitive due to his blindness.
Ah, why did you put the coals on top of the cushion?
Mistake number one. I take the tongs and put the coals. Please, stand
actually,
up, Reg.
What? Mistake number zero.
What's that?
Yes, the one before mistake number one. How did you know that the coals were on top of the cushion?
Holy shit.
Well, you could have just said that you felt them, but you didn't. You now reacted to my question.
You've got me! You've got me, you saucy minx! I can see!
Did you forget, Reg, that Queen Victoria is the world's greatest detective?
That's right!
I did!
You fell for one of her classic traps!
Indubitably.
Your Majesty, I'm so sorry that these men decided to bamboozle you.
As you should be. How dare you? And how dare you and you?
Well, me? I'm an innocent bison and a casual friend.
Yes, I caught that part.
And I had nothing to do with it. I'm just trying to provide a service with a heated cushion.
He stole my blindness in exchange for the tongs S1.
Your Majesty, please.
I can't lie to the Queen.
What?
I'm a simple pornographer. I can't lie to the Queen.
I know. Your Majesty, please, as your loyal subjects and humble supplicants, please, please don't make an example of us. Professor Carstairs was just trying to do something good. Reg here was just trying to...
I just wanted to see again. I wanted to get into the side of that human centipede again and take one more charcoal rendering.
How dare you?
Your Majesty, he did say to me that the first thing he wanted to see with his eyesight one more time was your lovely queenship.
Wait, what?
He said he could not wait to see the beautiful visage of the queen herself.
Is this true?
Just say yes.
It's true. You're the first thing I wanted to see.
May I ask you this, former blind man?
Yeah.
What exactly was the focus of your pornography? Who, rather?
Have you heard of cosplay?
Cosplay?
Cosplay.
It's like an abbreviation or a
I
compound
I don't like
word
where this is going.
I do. Continue.
Costumes and play.
Everyone involved in the human centipede was either a...
What I am getting at was that was I involved in this?
Well, that's just it. Everyone dressed up as Your Highness. It was a royal... Well, if you don't mind my saying, madam, it was a royal fuckfest.
All done in beautiful charcoal.
Very tasteful. Very tasteful.
Very
you can
tasteful.
Check the wall yourself.
Very tasteful.
Your
indeed.
Majesty, I apologize.
No, don't.
What's this?
Charcoal.
Oh, yeah.
Speak more of this medium.
Well, it does better with the sweat from your glands. So, whereas paint, oil colors might...
Which is what I am used to being fashioned as. That's why I'm inquiring as to why you would use charcoal.
Well, the charcoal doesn't absorb the sweat as much, and so it doesn't bleed on the paper.
Oh, my word.
So also, it represents the delicate interplay between the light and the shadow.
Yes, there's a lot of contrast in it, if you don't mind my saying. And there's a lot of shadow, so we sometimes see the silhouette of your highness.
Oh.
And the curves of your highness.
Oh, curves
they are.
Sometimes
we see every succulent detail, if you don't mind my saying.
No, you've already said it. Professor?
Your highness?
Perhaps these two gentlemen.
You can say it, pinographers.
Yes, perhaps these two pinographers can find a place in my royal army.
What? In the army of all places? I never, but well, will, apparently.
I only used army because I couldn't think of another word.
Oh, that's fine.
Court? Perhaps to court.
Court, yes, court, perhaps that's it.
Ah, as a illustrator for the court?
Indeed.
If I may say, Your Honest, if you're Pinterested, we could create a wall where anyone could come and look at it, and if they're Pinterested, they could pin some more royal pornography onto it.
Yeah, this will be like, it'll become the killer app of the Victorian era.
App is a short form, it's a compact word for application.
Yes.
But what about my heated cushion?
Right, of course, your heated cushion. I still have need for your heated cushions, but this application, perhaps there is a place to have illustrations on the wall in different forms of mediums, particularly my favorite, which is the charcoal.
Oh.
I think I shall commission the two of you. How long would it take to do such a fine grand mural on the side of the castle?
Well, we'd need a model.
And we'd need a whole lot of charcoal as well.
And perhaps you would need a heated seat?
Well, perhaps, I mean, when the coals are no longer warm, they just become charcoal.
Oh.
Exactly.
Oh.
Well, looks like my job is done here.
Thank you, Your Majesty.
No, thank you. Gentlemen, thank you.
And thus was born the Industrial Revolution.
Bet you didn't know. Gentlemen, that is our show for this evening.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Right. I just wanted to have a big round of applause for our guest tonight, Nigel Downer.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Thanks.
And to Kate Blair for being our interview. Don't forget, you can pick up a copy of her book tonight.
Jim
Clayton, who played the music for us tonight.
The Dark Prince here.
For Rob in the booth, thank you so much.
Thanks,
and to the
Rob.
Social Capital Theater for coming tonight. Don't forget the Illusionoid monolith scheme. Tell one person about the podcast.
Yeah.
One person. One.
Just one.
Monolith, yes.
Yeah. It's a monolith.
Yes. Tower to the moon.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great night. We'll see you again soon.
Thank you.
Her Majesty's Heated Seat Cushions. Improvised by Illusionoid. Starring Paul Bates, Lee Smart, Nug Nargang, and special guest Nigel Downer. Live music and sound effects by Jim Clayton. Recorded live at the Social Capital Theatre in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, February 24th, 2016. You can listen to Illusionoid, and now you can wear Illusionoid. Get an Illusionoid t-shirt in black or green at TeePublic. That's right, the official t-shirt of the doomed future is available today. Visit TeePublic.com and search for Illusionoid or follow the link on our Facebook page. Illusionoid can be heard on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, and anywhere podcasts can be heard. Tell your friends, tell the world, and help save the future by sharing our show. We hope you've enjoyed the Illusionoid podcast. You can submit a title for a future episode, tweet it to us at IllusionoidPod, or post it on the wall of our Facebook page and give us a like while you're there. Also, stop by our iTunes page and give us a 5-star review, as higher ratings help more people find out about the show. Use Professor Carstairs' name in your review to show us that you actually heard this message. Thank you for listening. Keep your time radios tuned in for another transmission from the future on
Illusionoid.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.